to impeach President Trump, but Nancy Pelosi refuses to send the articles to the Senate until they guarantee a fair trial. So now we're all in this weird limbo where no one knows exactly what's going on. There's this cast of wild characters making fools of themselves, and everyone is thinking, please God, just let this end. So basically, it's cats. This impeachment is obviously a huge historic moment, and you can tell that Trump really appreciates the gravity of the situation, because this is what he said on the day he got impeached.
Remember the dishwasher, you press it, boom, there'd be like an explosion. 5 minutes later, you open it up, the steam pours out, the dishes. Now you press it 12 times. Women tell me.
Words that will echo through the ages. He's the first president ever impeached in his first term, and he launches into a rambling Yelp review of appliances. And then Trump got the crowd to do the weirdest call and response I've ever heard.
Sinks, right? Showers. And what goes with a sink and a shower?
His crowd knew the answer was toilets. And they were right, because then a second later, he renewed his strange feud with flushing.
I tend to bomb, but not me, of course, not me. But him.
So some poor guy in his audience waited in line outdoors in Michigan in December to support the president. He gets inside, the president points at him and says, this guy destroys toilets. But there was somehow an even lower point, which was when Trump attacked a dead congressman, John Dingell, and said he was looking up at us from hell. Though obviously nobody's looking up at us from hell because we're already there.
In a letter to Nancy Pelosi, Trump claimed that he has been treated worse than those accused in the Salem witch trials. You know, where they set women on fire for, like, wearing pants. Well, according to Donald Trump, impeachment is, like, literally worse than that. I'm a little disappointed in Trump. I mean, I knew he would snap, but I thought it'd be fun, like Tupac in 96. This is more sad, like Britney in 07.
He's already preparing for a Senate trial. He is now clashing with the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Trump wants a, quote, dramatic event. McConnell, though, is pushing back, making it clear, no, he wants to get it over with quickly.
You're watching C-SPAN 3. Happy 100th birthday. Up next, President Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell spar over impeachment strategies.
Stand trial in the Senate early in the new year, and one senator says the trial would take approximately 2 weeks in January and would feature no witnesses. Oh, that is going to be some compelling television. Reminds me of the famous courtroom scene from A Few Good Men.
Do you have an answer? I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
Did you order the Congress?
Now, the president's putting a brave face on in public, but impeachment seems to be getting to Trump. Aides say he has appeared distracted and unfocused during conversations. Yes, distracted and unfocused, unlike the old laser-focused Donald Trump.
My fellow Americans, I come to you tonight to announce that American ground forces are, hey, there's a guy I know. Anyway, China, give me dirt on Joe Biden. Bing, bing, bong, bong, bong. Flush your toilet 15 times. Good night.
It's not just impeachment that's getting on Trump's nerves. It's why he's being impeached. One advisor said, frankly, I think he's a little surprised it's the Ukraine thing that's done it. Yeah, me too. After all the shady deals he's been involved in over the years, he gets tripped up by a phone call? Trump getting impeached for Ukraine is like Paul Newman winning an Oscar for The Color of Money. He definitely deserves it, but it should have happened way before this. Look at that. Trump is also annoyed at how impeachment is playing out on the TV. He's reportedly fixated on how the news media is portraying him, with one advisor saying, the coverage bugs him.
I don't get it. Why does the media always paint me as the bad guy? Anyway, somebody photoshopped me to look like Thanos.
Trump has made it pretty clear in his recent public statements that he's more than just bugged by impeachment, including at a rally last week and in the Oval Office on Friday, when he claimed that Democrats had somehow been trying to impeach him since before he announced that he was running for president back in 2015.
They can't win an election day, so they're pursuing an illegal, invalid, and unconstitutional impeachment.
And then they announced there was no buzz. Now, you know what we're doing? And it's not easy.
Teams everywhere. This strong might protect this community. This community. I want it all. The terrifying lows, the dizzying highs, the creamy middles. Sure, I might offend a few of the blue noses with my cocky stride and musky odors. Oh, I'll never be the darling of the so-called city fathers who cluck their tongues, stroke their beards, and talk about what's to be done with it.
A regular president would have been under a table, thumb in the mouth, saying, take me home, mommy, this is too tough for me. I have to tell you, as bad as this is, it meant something. When you had serious high crimes and misdemeanors, the impeachment is a hoax, it's a sham. It started a long time ago, probably before I came down the escalator with the future First Lady.
All right, first of all, what's with all the slurring, man? Trump's going to be the first president to get pulled over for a sobriety test in the middle of one of his rallies. Can you say the alphabet backwards? I can't say it forwards. Second, don't say I came down the escalator like you were George Washington crossing the Delaware. It wasn't noble or cool. You rode an escalator to announce your campaign for president like you were at a Macy's looking for men's underwear. I'm running for president. Also, where do you keep your dumpiest khakis? Third and most important, you think Democrats were secretly plotting to impeach you before you announced that you were running for president? How'd that work? You think President Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Nancy Pelosi were all in a secret room together saying, okay, you know that famously dumb game show host, you know, the one who spends most of his time yelling at meatloaf? Well, he's about to ride an escalator down to announce his campaign, so here's our plan to bring him down. We're going to win the popular vote by 3 million votes, but then we lose the Electoral College because, you know, it's a dumb, antiquated system. And then we're going to wait 3 years until he calls the president of Ukraine and asks him to dig up dirt on Joe Biden, who will announce that he's running for president. And also, Rudy Giuliani is going to go on TV and confess to everything. This is just the world we live in now. The president's a deranged, conspiratorial lunatic who's fundamentally untethered from reality. In fact, on Friday, Trump lied and claimed that his poll numbers have actually gone up since impeachment began.
My poll numbers, as you know, have gone through the roof.
Hey, I think I'm falling.
The polls have gone through the roof for Trump because people, especially with independent voters, and especially in swing states, I could show you numbers that nobody's ever seen numbers like this before.
What are you talking about? We're getting numbers no one has ever seen?
11-11. Something called a Frix. That's the first Frix we've ever seen, you guys.
I have the right to do whatever I want as president.
But we know Trump is lying because polls have consistently shown that about half of Americans want him at least impeached, if not removed from office altogether. Even a new Fox News poll over the weekend confirmed that, and it was a poll that surprised even Fox and Friends morning host, Brian Kilmeade. He said this morning that he was stunned to see how high the number was.
In the latest Fox News poll, 50% of registered voters think the president should be impeached and removed from office, up 1 point since October. 4% think he should be impeached but not removed from office, and 41% do not think he should be impeached at all.
The Fox poll came out, and I was stunned by this. It said 50% of the country want the president impeached. I was stunned to see that that's the number because I thought that things were trending away.
Yeah, you know why you thought that? Because you only listen to Trump and you only watch Fox News. You're like a guy who works at Arby's who eats an actual burger for the first time and says, what? This burger doesn't taste like horse. When Kilmeade saw that poll, he was probably like, but I thought Trump's approval rating was up to 11-11 tricks. That's what I heard. So Trump has clearly both been watching the impeachment coverage and also getting enraged asked about it, although he'd love for us to believe he's not. On Friday, for example, he insisted he was working on other more important issues, like a supposed trade deal he keeps claiming he's negotiating with China.
The President, your reaction to voting in the House Judiciary Committee?
Well, I was actually, believe it or not, finishing up the file. I was doing the final touches on the China deal.
I do not believe it. Also, if you do anything, it's not the final touches. They maybe let you help out in the beginning a little bit so you have ownership. You know, the way you let your toddler stir the frosting but not put the cake in the oven.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman. Giving all your love to just one man. You'll have bad times, and you'll have good times, doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, even though he's hard to understand. And if he loves you, I'll be proud of him. Cause after all, he's just a man.
So now that impeachment is going to move to the Senate for trial, where the senators themselves will act as jurors, and Republican senators who will act as those jurors are already on TV defending the president before the trial even begins. For example, there was Senator Rand Paul, who kept insisting in a contentious interview with CNN's Jake Tapper that Trump was just worried about corruption in general, even though several of Trump's closest associates have been arrested and jailed. And Paul just kept mindlessly repeating his talking points.
All of them have been convicted of federal crimes. You really think President Trump is concerned about rooting out corruption?
I think most of what you listed, and most of the people who were indicted or convicted, were alleged to have been part of some sort of huge Russian conspiracy.
I'm asking about President Trump and corruption. I just listed a number of close associates of President Trump's who are either in prison or facing sentencing.
It's based on opinion. It's based on
these are sentences. These are criminal sentences. I just wanted to know, do you really think President Trump is concerned about corruption? Just a yes or no. Is that something you really
think? Yes, I think Ukraine has been one of the corruptest countries on earth.
That's not what I asked.
Back, the Western back, all the governments of Ukraine have been corrupt.
He just kept ignoring the question. There's no way to break through with these guys. They just recite their pre-programmed lines. Anchors have to yell at them the way you yell at one of those automated customer service agents. Hello?
Thank you for calling Verizon. How can I help you?
Yeah, I want to cancel my service.
I heard. I want to upgrade my service.
No.
Is that correct?
No. I said I want to cancel.
I heard. Please add a second phone line to my account. Is that correct?
No, I want to cancel.
I heard. I love Verizon. Thank you. Goodbye.
The argument that Trump was just concerned about corruption in general is obviously absurd on its face. In fact, as we speak, Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani, who's at the center of this whole scheme, is back in the U.S. from a trip to Ukraine, where he was still digging up dirt on Trump's political rivals. And the Wall Street Journal reports that Rudy is still reporting directly to Trump. When he returned to New York last Saturday, the president called him as his plane was still taxiing down the runway. What did you get, Trump asked. More than you can imagine, Giuliani replied. He was loudly committing crimes on the plane as soon as the plane landed. At this point, whenever Rudy flies, the flight attendants are going to have to announce his Miranda rights. You are now free to use your mobile devices, and remember, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Not only are they continuing to cheat in the election as we speak, but they're also trying to cheat in the trial about the cheating. Remember, the Senate is supposed to be a fair and impartial jury, but both Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham have said explicitly their only goal is to end the trial as quickly as possible, call zero witnesses, and take their marching orders directly from the president himself.
I don't need any witnesses at all.
Okay, and then...
I am ready to go. My goal is to end this as soon as possible for the good of the country.
Everything I do during this, I'm coordinating with White House counsel. There will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this.
Has a simple plan for the impeachment trial. No impeachment trial. But McConnell claims control of the proceedings. This is true. Just four Republicans vote with Democrats to allow witnesses. One of the likely suspects to grow a spine is Utah Senator Mitt Romney. When Romney was asked his opinion on calling additional witnesses, he said, "It's not that I don't have any point of view. It's just that I'm not willing to share that point of view until I've had the chance to talk to others and get their perspectives." Oh, courage. It's just like at the end of the movie when the Romans are about to crucify Kirk Douglas, then Tony Curtis stands up and goes, "It's not that I'm not Spartacus. I'm just not willing to share whether I'm Spartacus, because first I want to talk to these other guys and find out if any of them are Spartacus. Anyone? No? Okay, I'll sit down.
I have the right to do whatever I want as president."
Trump will probably bounce back. Resilient politician the country has ever seen. Okay, not to be all Teddy Roosevelt got shot, but Teddy Roosevelt got shot and then finished the speech he was giving. Trump gets winded carrying an umbrella up a staircase. The aide thinks, this unnamed aide thinks none of us will be that affected by any of this, predicting we'll just wake up Thursday and say, "Well, that was quite a season 3 finale. What's going to happen in season 4? Yeah, exactly. Trump presidency is just a TV show we all have to live through. I call it the worst wing.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Und jetzt noch einmal.
Stets ein deutsches Mädel, bin immer treu und edel.
Ja. Ich bin ein Sachsen-Mädel und darum bin ich froh.
Und darum bin ich froh.
Ich bin ein Sachsen-Mädel und darum bin ich froh. Ja, das kennst du nicht.
Nein, das
niemals gehört.
Nein.
Okay. Hat er erfunden.
Ja.
Nein, habe ich nicht erfunden. Habe ich nicht erfunden.
Nein.
Ist ein, wie heißt das? Ist ein Hit. Das war ein Hit hier in der Umgebung. Und das war genauso, wie du das gesungen hast, aber das ist bundesweit.
Ja.
Und Sachsen-Mädel, das heißt,
das
ist Frankie. Federalstaat.
Auch Niedersachsen.
Ja, genau.
Ja, aber ich
anders.
Niedersachsen.
Du kommst von hier?
Niedersachsen-Anhalt, Sachsen.
Du kommst von hier?
Ja, Niedersachsen.
Du bist eine Sachsen.
Ja.
Du bist ein Sachsen-Mädel.
Ja, alle sind hier Sachsen.
Alle sind hier Sachsen, ja.
Niedersachsen.
Niedersachsen sind auch Sachsen.
Ja. Niedersachsen sind ja auch Sachsen.
Ja, of course.
Okay, woher stammen die Engländer?
Sachsen. Die Engländer?
Ja, die Engländer.
Aus Sachsen.
Ja.
Das sind Inselaffen.
Ja, das sind Inselaffen. Das sind hochzivilisierte Germanen.
Aha,
ja,
Sachsen.
Hochzivilisierte
Sachsen.
Deutsche. Germanen. Ja?
Deutsche.
Die kamen von hier aus, haben die dieses Insel besetzt.
Ja,
und die Kälte sind rausgeschmissen.
Ja.
Die haben die wirklich gemacht.
Ein Insel abgeschrieben dann
noch. Gretchen. Ja, ja. Gretchen. Geht's uns noch zwei?
Sofort.
Ja, sofort.
Sachsen-Mädel.
Sachsen-Mädel. Was sieht? Das war gut. Ich hatte gut. Das
Habt ihr auch Dance?
Ja, natürlich.
Trade war. tonight.
This isn't a tantrum. It's strategic performance art. We're liberating your experts for your control. And hey, if your economy collapses, that just means I'm wanting harder.
We've got tariff fever as I'm with the moon. Trade toss canceled, no reply soon. So let's all dance to the price of bread and spin these sanctions till we're dead. We're 4%, baby, that's the deal. When feelings are facts and pain is real, we're making history one post at a time. Now hit that beat and tax the rhyme.
You can join us on the IRC chat at center.org/remain.
Hit that beat and tax the rhyme.
But there's also more information.
This isn't a tantrum. It's strategic performance art. We're liberating your exports from your control. And hey, if your economy collapses, that just means I want it harder.
We got the terror fever rising with the moon. Trade talks canceled, no reply soon. So let's all dance to the price of bread and spin these sanctions till we're dead. 1% baby, that's the deal. When feelings are facts and pain is real, we're making history one post at a time. Now hit that beat and tax the rhyme.
Anticipate landing.
the gift don't seem to mind. Rise on this occasion.
It's a surf cam.
Halfway up gosh. Your back.
Hawaii.
Sliding down your body. Touching your behind. Relax on self-possessed. I won't disturb your rest. It's lovely when you're sleeping. But wide awake.
I never knew my mother. She died when I was a baby at post-flat pack assembly trauma. When they found her, some of her remains were missing. All I remember of my father is that he reminded me of a handsome, if flaky, pastry. Perhaps that was his dignity, or his dandruff. It came as no surprise when he was hit by a bakery. There was bread everywhere. I learned two things from the death of my father. Never cross when the green man's flashing, and whole loaf is better than sliced. I work in this museum. I sit here in this room full of 17th century paintings. All day. Sometimes I give talks, but usually I just watch these paintings and the paintings watch me. My ambition in life is to take up smoking. But I've just not got round to it. Most of the people in these paintings look desperate for a cigarette. Most of the visitors to this museum are desperate for the loo. I took the job as a stopgap at the university 3 years ago. I suppose destiny's marked me out for some glorious future. When the museum closes, I go home. I live with Pete. We met at Oxford, where he was into left politics and sport and chaired the Red Skateboard Society. Now he's a banker in the city, and he's doing really well. We've just moved to a bigger mortgage.
Come on, Onera! I thought you'd have unpacked everything by now. This penthouse cost me $2 million. The least you could have done is plug in the fridge. Do I have to do everything?
I'm coming!
What's up with this stupid machine?
The removal's meant damage the ceiling.
It's dead! The fridge is dead!
Should we bury it at sea? The Arctic Ocean, perhaps? It's no big deal.
No big deal? My fridge doesn't work. How am I going to chill the champagne?
You could blow it kisses. That ought to freeze the bottle.
Just get me a new fridge.
Why do I feel like I've been through this before?
It's romance, Onera. The byproduct of the economic cycle.
Truth has never satisfied me. You can't argue with it. You can't let its bicycle tires down to teach it a lesson. All you can do with truth is swap it for other truths. Like a postage stamp in a collection kept by your ex-army uncle. But there is something other than truth. Something deeper, richer, altogether addictive. And that something is meaning. You can't see it. You can't buy it. You have to find it yourself. I don't sleep much. They say you can't see the Milky Way in London because of light pollution. It's not true. That night, there was a full moon. I could see stars, satellites, and a small flying saucer. It carved a horizontal question mark around the city. It was to change my life.
The toilet.
Yeah.
Go through the next room,
yeah.
Turn left,
yeah.
And through the door marked Brit Art.
Thank you!
Now, this particular painting has a Latin title, Quisumus Esse, Who Are We To Be? It's by unknown master of the Flemish school circa 1630. Now, as you can see, it shows a collection of curious objects on a table. A glass flask containing a miniature man and some birds, a Janus face skull, and a clock with blood gushing from beneath the dagger stuck in its face.
What is it supposed to be?
A pastoralist. Now, here on the right is a bearded old man in a desert. Now, he's pointing at this open book, hovering in glory over the entire composition. The book's in Latin. The words we can read translate as, "Cheer up, you sod, you're all going to die." Now notice the upside-down brown pencil sketch pinned beneath the wounded clock of a young woman who's also pointing at the hovering book.
She looks exactly like you.
I'd never noticed that before. I would have dismissed it as a coincidence, but there was something else that made it altogether perplexing. At the back of the group was an old man with unfashionable clothes and a long black beard. He looked exactly like the old man in the painting. He was smiling and nodding as if he knew me. That lunchtime, as usual, I went to the plastic cafe opposite the museum. It's soothingly beautiful. Everything is a moulded brown. The tables, the chairs, the food. That old man was there. He bowed and said,
"Do you recommend the anorexic latte and chimera croissant? Or do you have problems with the existence of an external reality?"
"Oh, not at all. I saw a UFO last night. It avoided flying over central London. How do you think that was?"
"They don't want to pay the congestion charge."
He clearly knew more than he was prepared to tell. And I knew he wasn't a figment of my imagination, because he vanished Hey, did you know that UFOs avoid central London to beat the congestion
traffic? I'm not interested in traffic problems, okay? I've spent today working my guts out on the biggest flotation in corporate history.
Well, tonight you can relive your time in student accommodation. We're having tin food as we still have to buy a new fridge.
We? You won't understand this, but I'm trying to nail the number one spot in the firm's bonus league. No. I make the mega dosh, you buy the fridge. That's your role in this organisation.
But Pete, I thought you'd come with me.
Do you want me to choose what colour fridge?
No, I want you to pay for it.
You pay, you invoice me, I repay you within 30 days, subject to my approval of the merchandise. This does not affect your statutory conjugal rights. That's how it works between couples on ERA. It's called being in love.
Sometimes, Pete's more like my line manager than my boyfriend.
Sure.